Today on Real Radio.
Commitment means now all the way through to the end. If that doesn't get you, how about this? You're doing a wedding, and you're inviting them to commit to one another. Can you imagine if a husband said, I vow this day to give you my life, my love, and my faithfulness for as long as I feel like it. That wedding would stop, I'm telling you, right now it would stop. If she didn't stop it, I would stop it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament Gospel or Narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first 15 verses of chapter 8. This is a passage that includes the well-known parable of the sower, well-known among believers at least. It's really a reality check type of scripture because you and I and everyone who hears the Word of God will fit into one of the four categories mentioned. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called, Is This Your Heart?
Why is this the case that their hearts are unable to go deep? Jot this down, verse 6. Because it's a hardened will. They have a hardened will toward the Bible. They have a hardened will toward the Bible. When Jesus said in verse 6, some fell on rock, that rock-like nature is a heart that is something preoccupied with too many things. It's a heart, the word means, that is overstimulated. The mind and the heart of the person is a heart that is cluttered. It's got a lot of stuff going on. It responds to a lot of things. As we shall see, this heart's going to be very open to a lot of stuff and very excited about stuff. It's very, very emotional, but with no depth. And Jesus, by the way, is going to graphically paint this picture in a moment. But their inability to take the Word of God in will lead to a catastrophic end for them. When the gospel's preached, when they go to Anaheim Stadium, and they hear the gospel preached, and they get all, come on, let's go. And maybe they're even going forth crying. And it's natural for us to clap and to get excited. But for those of us who've been Christian for a while, when we're clapping and excited, do you know what we're saying while we're clapping and while we're excited? Oh, dear God, cause them to stick. Dear God, call them to stay close to you. Lord, keep the enemy back from them. Because apparently, Jesus said, there's a great amount of people. When the Word of God goes out, it falls on a rock, hard heart. And they have an inability to take in the Word of God. These people, by the way, don't get me wrong. For even around us this morning, this type of heart may be here. For about a week or two, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 3 years, maybe 5 years. They've been very excited about the things of God. But they're still very superficial. Christianity to them right now is convenient. Christianity is kind of cool. It's I go to a hip church, it's kind of fun, the worship's great and the pastor's insane and they do a lot of stuff, the people are going around the world giving the gospel and they feed the homeless and okay, great. But none of that matters in the long haul if you don't continue. Jesus is warning, is this your kind of heart that is hardened against the Bible? So these people don't sit in church, they don't have fangs, you don't smile, good morning, welcome, and they don't go, you know, they don't have fangs hanging out. They don't have red underwear with a pitchfork. They are sincerely, in their heart, excited, but there's no depth to them. They're very open, almost too open, because what goes in falls out. Mark 16:14 says, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared unto the 11 disciples and sat at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Because they didn't believe that he would be risen from the dead. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. In doing that, you'll deceive yourself. Number two, under this point, a heart unable to go deep. Jesus warns us because of its poor knowledge of spiritual things. He says in verse 6, as soon as it sprang up, it withered. As soon as that seed went into the ground And by the way, everybody in Israel would have gotten this picture this quick, because Israel is a land covered with a beautiful, fertile topsoil. But in many regions, not all the regions, but in many regions, just about 6 inches below that is a very, very hard limestone. So when you put something into it, the seed sprouts up quickly. It really shoots up great. The water is good. The ground is fertile. A lot of it's volcanic in nature. It's very rich. And so the sun comes up, it warms up the earth, and there's the nice heat with the moisture and the fertile chemicals in the soil, and kaboom, the seed explodes into life. That's why I literally have seen this with my eyes. On a Monday in Israel, there's not much happening. And by Wednesday, the hills are red with flowers because it explodes and grows so quickly. But this type of heart, poor in knowledge of spiritual things, the soil acted or reacted very quickly to the gospel. The gospel was given, and it acted or reacted very quickly to the presentation of the gospel. But tragically, this man or this woman never counted the cost of following Jesus. They only heard the, listen everyone, they heard the benefits of following Jesus. They were not told that it could get tough. Christian, listen, if you're here this morning and you have not yet heard this, you need to hear this now. Yes, Christianity is a joy. Yes, it's fulfilling. Yes, Jesus is the only way to heaven. But listen, the Bible tells us it can be tough along the way. It's true. In Matthew 13, verses 5 and 6 and verse 21, Jesus, Matthew, records his messages this way. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root in themselves, they withered away. Verse 21, Matthew 13 says, this kind of person endures only for a while. We just don't know how long a while is. He just says just for a while. Because when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. If somebody comes and mocks you or makes fun of you or says you're silly for being a Christian, that hurts your feelings so much that your feelings are ruling over you, your feelings are in control, and boy, I'm just not going to take a stand for Jesus anymore, and maybe I'll just play it safe and not set myself up like that, and you begin to protect yourself. And that can be a very dangerous thing, very subtle, there's no doubt about it, but it can lead to very dangerous things. Because what happens when persecution and tribulation arises in our lives? We back up instead of leaning or moving forward. Jesus is faithful to teach the Word of God, black and white, up and down, the joys and the sorrows of it. Dr. Ironside says, the servant of God is to present to the people of God the truth of God, warts and all. Not just the joyful scriptures, but those that also speak of the sacrifice, of the love, and of the hardship. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth, Jesus said, will set you free. And then also in verse 6, a heart unable to go deep, Jesus teaches us it's a heart that fails to invest in the things of God. Notice it says here, they lacked moisture. The roots went searching but found no water. They tried, perhaps, maybe, to go deep. The seed, the Word of God, is an awesome and amazing thing. Church, just when I, and even when I quote a verse, just a verse of the Bible, it goes out into the airwaves. Imagine this for a moment. Picture it in your cartoon head, a seed. I speak John 3:16, and whoop, it's a seed. Looks just like a grain of rice, okay? It flies across the sanctuary, and it's going to go down into every heart that's listening. You got your ears, and you listen, and whoop, it's going to hit. That doesn't happen, in my opinion, without quoting Bible, without knowing Bible. I think it's the Word of God that has the power. So when it goes out, it's going to affect. It may affect someone toward coming to Christ. It may affect someone who says, I don't want Christ. But the decision's going to be made. But the tragedy here is that in this heart, there is no moisture. That is, they never acted upon the truth that came to them. They talked about it. They watched it. They said yes to the message. They even might have come forward. They may have even gone so far to be baptized. But I like what R. Kent Hughes says about this. Listen to this. He said, these are half Christians, which realize that with Jesus comes difficulties and disciplines. And in the time to surrender, once again, they go back into the world rather than to Christ. It is these half-Christians that often become the greatest hindrances to the spreading of the gospel because they live in a bitter, disgruntled way toward Christ. That's a dangerous thing. Point number two in our study this morning is this. Jesus is asking us this morning, is this your heart? Verse 13, is it a heart unwilling to commit? A heart unwilling to commit. Verse 13 says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word of God with joy. First thing we see is that they agree with the message. Notice that they hear the word, they're listening to it, and they'll even receive it with joy. They agree with the message. There's no debate there. You may be sitting here this morning saying, okay, you know, I've been coming for the last few weeks. I agree with what the Bible has to say. You can agree with what the Bible has to say forever. These people agree about the message. That's how their initial response begins. They say, oh, yeah, hey, that's great. I need that. I want that. And so they get up and they make a commitment, it looks like. But watch this, everyone, a commitment. And I know this is tough. We live in a very difficult time of human history. When we talk about commitment, okay, you tell your child, all right, you really need to be committed to this. Well, how long do I have to do it? You've got to really be committed. Do I have to do it now? Commitment means now all the way through to the end. If that doesn't get you, how about this? You're doing a wedding. And you're inviting them to commit to one another. Can you imagine if a husband said, I vow this day to give you my life, my love, and my faithfulness for as long as I feel like it. That wedding would stop. I'm telling you right now, it would stop. If she didn't stop it, I would stop it. Can you imagine? You say, Jack, that would never happen. It happens every day in Christianity, so-called. Oh God, I'm committed to you. Oh Jesus, let's sing that song again. Oh Jesus, all to thee I give. How long do I have to give him all? Lord, I worship you. How long is the worship service going to begin and last and end anyway? The pastor says, let's pray. How long is that prayer going to be? The Bible says, live for God. How long is that? Commitment. You know, that's one of the most, according to people who say so, one of the most attractive things about the cults, that they demand commitment. So people flock to the cults. Christianity, if people are listening, is the ultimate commitment. We just don't use swords to enforce it. We just don't automatically deduct money from your bank account for tithing. All that's coercion. If you want to give, give. If you want to be committed, be committed. Jesus is simply saying, here's the seed. What are you going to do with it? Every one of us in the hearing of my voice will be responsible for their decision. What kind of a heart are you? What kind of a heart is in you? That's the hard question. And you can agree with what the gospel has to say. Second point under this, a heart unwilling to commit, it receives the message's influence. People can say, yeah, boy, you know what? That guy's a Christian, or that leader's a Christian, or that mayor is a Christian, or those people are Christians, and look what they've done, and oh my, the hospitals and the libraries and the humanitarian outreaches around the world, they will agree and they will receive the fact that the gospel changes lives and it is a great influence. They will hear the message. They receive the fact that the gospel has influenced the world. They can reckon with that. But it doesn't go any further than that. Now, people, just by nature of this study, this thing is deep in our hearts if we'll let it go deep. This morning, the temptation is for you to mix up the messenger with the message. You need to divorce yourself from this messenger and listen to the message. You might say, well, Pastor, you're not entertaining me enough. I'm not supposed to. You're not being very funny today. This is serious. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, it speaks about this kind of heart that we're addressing this morning, a heart that is rock hard. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, Paul the Apostle says, "It is impossible to restore to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted," by the way, they never ate, they only sipped, "the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, who, when they turn away from God, it is impossible to bring such a one again to repentance, because they are nailing the Son of God to the cross again by rejecting him, holding him up to public shame." See, when you say, "Oh, I understand the influence and the power, and I agree and I receive. But you know what? About 2 years ago, I stopped going, and I got into these other things, or this job took me away, and everything is just fine with them now being distant from God." According to Jesus, they live a life where they never quite return back to God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since a promise remains to enter into God's rest, let us fear, therefore, lest we also seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel is preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard was not mixed with faith. It did not profit them when they heard of it." This is very serious stuff. Verse 13 goes on. Listen to this. A heart unwilling to commit. It rejoices in what the message does. It says that they receive the word with joy. This is wild. You say, "Jack, what are you saying?" Watch this. Four types of hearts. Jesus lists three of them. By the time we come to the end of this series, he will have listed three of them. They all heard the word, and in some way they responded in some way. They certainly all reacted. But there's only one heart that goes to heaven. That's why this is so critical. These hearts don't make it to heaven. These are the descriptions of people who will not be in heaven. Jesus says so. And that's why there's such a seriousness about this message. How do you know you're going to be there? You know me, and when I preach the gospel and teach the word of God, I revel in the fact that the Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. And I know I do, and many of you know you do. But how do we know? Why is it that we know and some don't know? There's honest doubt that rips people off who are going, but they don't feel like they're going. Then there are those who, in some cases, I see people never thinking or doubting one second, and their life is absolutely opposite from God. And they just think, "Well, I'm going to go. If there's a heaven, I'm going to go." Like they get there by default. There are those who just don't let the kingdom in their life, in their heart. And yet they can tell you all about the things of the kingdom. "I've been to church all my life. Don't tell me." You hear that? So what are you saying? That's how you get to heaven? Going to church all your life? It's not how you get in. This heart rejoices. If you and I were to see this kind of a heart right now, we would say, "My goodness, look at that wonderful believer." Jesus says they don't continue. Church, come on. Should we rejoice? The Bible says rejoice always. But the verse that Jesus here shows us is that they are emotionally responding to the gospel. It has no depth to it. Dr. Ironside says again, "The danger with preaching and teaching a popular gospel is that it leads people to the joy but never warns them of the dark and difficult days that are sure to come. And in the end, the man is disillusioned, confused, feeling abandoned by God and alone among men." Boy, isn't that true? That's a powerful word. It is a false and dangerous thing to invite somebody to know God without telling them their need for Christ. They must come to Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. There must first be a breaking of that person in their heart. They must realize, "I need Jesus." And then a lasting true joy comes to them. Let me put it to you this way. I don't believe we should ask anyone Oh boy, this is going to stir the ranks. Hear me out before you panic. I would never in my life ever invite someone to join a church. I will never ask someone to become a member of a church. First of all, I don't find any of those things in the Bible. Nowhere. I will invite people to come to know Christ. I will invite people to give a heart, deep commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior. I will, my wife gets so upset with me because we'll be talking to somebody somewhere and they'll say, oh, I saw the sticker on your car or your t-shirt. We're looking for a church. And I kid you not, and she'll just poke me. I just trust God on this. I'll tell them, and they don't know that I'm a pastor. They just assume I'm a Christian because I have a Christian t-shirt on. I'll say, well, you know what? There's a lot of great churches in this area. Look in the phone book. Start visiting churches. Visit each one consecutively 4 weeks, praying before you go to the next one and let God speak to you. Why did you tell them that? Why didn't you tell them to come to Calvary? I want God to tell them to come to Calvary. Believe it or not, we pray every service, you guys. Lord, bring here to this church those that you want here and those you don't want here. Don't bring them here. It doesn't make them any less or greater. It's just God, have your will.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Is This Your Heart? Taken from the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8. It's part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to give you a couple of reminders. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about it. Pastor Jack?
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment, yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time, at hischannel.com.
Okay, and again, that's hischannel.com. We do have a link at realradioactive.org. That's our own realradioactive.org. And also, we want to tell you about an upcoming parenting conference. It's on May the 21st and 22nd. You do have to register for it. It's called Raising Truly Great Kids with Dr. Tim Kimmel from Family Matters. Again, that's on a Friday and Saturday, May the 21st and 22nd. Now, you do have to register for this, and you can do so online. Just visit us again at realradioactive.org and just click the link that says Raising Truly Great Kids. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.